We came up with that concept a little over a month ago, and we just ran with it. And to be honest with you, that's how the devil works. He works in subtleties like that, doesn't he? If he can get us focused in on the shiny things, he can keep our attention away from the real thing. And that real thing is life, amen? But so many of us today, we get so tangled up in the things of this world to the point where we are so ensnared and enchained in the weights of this world that we don't know how to be free, that we don't know how to be set free. I was reading in the book of Acts. You guys can look with me if you want to. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas was about... This is not in my notes, but just the Lord laid it on my heart, and so I want to share it with you this morning. Paul and Silas were in prison. They were minding their own business, and this woman that was a fortune teller came up to her. By the way, if you're going to fortune tellers, stop doing that, because it's of the devil. It's not of God. Amen? And so what happened was Paul and Silas was minding their own business, and they were walking through the city, and this woman came up to her, and She began to try to tell them their fortunes. And what happened was, is Paul said, "Leave me alone, leave me alone." And she would not leave them alone. And she said, "We know who you are. You're the representatives of the Most High." And finally, Paul and Silas got tired of it, and Paul turned around and drove the demon out of her and set her free. For the first time, she saw the world with clear eyes. For the first time, she felt the love of God. She felt the freedom that could come in the Lord. And so what happened was, is the owner of this lady came to Paul and Silas and had them arrested because he said that he damaged their property, which was this lady, because he could not make any more money from her soothsaying. So we pick up the story in Acts 16, and it says... Let's see. Yeah, it says in verse 19. It says, "When the owner of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money were gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating... By advocating customers unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.'" Skip down to verse 25. They threw them in jail. They had them flogged and beaten. In verse 25, it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them." Now, let me say this. In verse 25, it says that Paul and Silas were in the prison praying. Now, this is not a type of prison that we have today. There's no cable TV back then. Amen? There's no beds. There's no three square meals. This was a time where Paul and Silas were flung into prison and they weren't read their Miranda rights. They were beaten and they were flogged openly and publicly. So that means that their backs were ripped open, that they had scars all over their backs and they were bruised and battered, wounded deeply. And the Bible says that at about midnight, Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns, spiritual songs to the Lord. It says, "Suddenly there was a sound such as a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains come loose." Hallelujah. You see, whenever we begin to focus upon the Lord instead of our problems, our chains begin to fall off. Amen? When we begin to focus upon the one that is able to heal us, deliver us, and set us free, rather than focusing in upon the bars and our situation, then he can set us free. Amen? Because when a person is set free by the Lord, we know that they are free indeed. Because whom the Son sets free, amen, is free indeed. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of speaking your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that out of the abundance of your word comes freedom and liberty. I ask, Father, that you would begin to open up our hearts and our spirits, Lord. God, may you be lifted up. May the chains of bondage be set free today. May your word go forth with great power, with great authority. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word, that it causes us to overcome. It causes us to be delivered. It causes us to be set free. And I thank you, Lord, for the freedom we now have in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I'm no longer the same, that I am bought with a price, and that freedom is mine today. I declare freedom over myself. I declare freedom over my family and over my life and my house. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start in verse 1. Paul says something amazing here. He says something profound, something liberating. He says this in Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now, everybody say now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus. In chapter 7, we see that Paul is trying to describe to you. See, what we do sometimes with the writers of the Bible is we put them way up here and we think they have no flaws whatsoever. But Paul was trying to be transparent in verse 7. Paul was saying this. He goes, I struggle with sin. How many of us here today struggle with sin? Everybody's hand should go up. Paul was saying, the things that I want to do, I don't do. But the things that I don't want to do, that I find myself doing. And so, therefore, there is a battle that is waging inside of me to do the things that I want to do. But because of my sinful nature, I find myself doing the opposite thing. Can anybody bear witness with what Paul's trying to talk about this morning? And so, because of that, it makes chapter 8, verse 1 that much more beautiful. He says, but therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This piece of scripture is telling us that the only possible way to be free of regret, remorse, and condemnation from our lives is to be in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, I know that there's a lot of people that are walking around, and today I want to focus solely on this word, condemnation. You see, I've heard a lot of people throughout the years in counseling saying, you know, Pastor, the Lord is really condemning me, and I have to stop them, because the Lord does not bring condemnation. The devil does. Because in condemnation, there's no room for forgiveness. There's no room for grace. There's no room for freedom. Because condemnation does this. It always brings your past back up into your face. Always knocks you back down again and provides no way of peace. That's what condemnation does. But the Bible says that God does this. He brings conviction. Conviction exposes sin, not for your humiliation, but for your redemption. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. See, repentance is a beautiful thing because it sets us in the right place in the Lord. The Bible says in 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Notice it says for those who are in Christ Jesus. So many of us want all the benefits of following Christ without the relationship. You see, the ring on my finger, and I've tried to get it off, but I cannot. But the ring on my finger represents commitment. It represents a covenant It represents a deep commitment to one person for the rest of my life. I've devoted myself to her. I've made decisions that benefit her. I've given my love and my devotion and my care and everything about me, I give to her. She knows me more than any other person on the planet. She knows me best. So don't be talking to her about stuff. I forbid it. And so, because of this ring, there is a covenant between she and I that no one else on the face of the earth can possess except for she and I. And in that covenant possesses all the benefits of marriage, love and commitment, cherishing one another, arguing a bit here and there too. That's just the way it is. But my commitment and my devotion is solely to her. And this ring signifies that I will be with no other, and my eyes have no room for no other. My heart has no room for no other. And so many times in our life, as we try to serve the Lord, or as we try to serve the law and try to make ourselves feel good religiously, and we pray and we cry out to God and we give Him all the religious stuff that we know, but we don't give Him the one thing that He desires, and that's our heart and our devotion. That's that covenant between He and I. Because it's in that covenant, it's in that devotion that we find freedom from condemnation. Amen? Amen? We find liberty and peace in the Holy Ghost. We can be set free, like the song said this morning. We can be liberated, like Bridget was liberated this morning. We can be set free. You know the good thing about the freedom of the Lord is that you don't have to beg for it. We don't have to plead for it. We don't have to cry out in desperation for it. We just call on the name of the Lord. It's kind of like I keep bringing this up, but it's like the prophets of Baal there. When Elijah had a showdown with them on Mount Carmel. You know how it goes? He said, all right, either Baal's God or Jehovah is God. It's going to be one or the other. And the first person, the first God that sets this altar on fire is God. And so what happens is that the prophets of Baal begin to beat themselves. They begin to chant. They begin to dance. They begin to cut themselves. They begin to do every religious thing they know to do. And Paul starts poking fun at them a little bit. He said, well, maybe your God is on vacation. Maybe He doesn't hear you. Maybe He's sleeping. Maybe He's tired. Maybe you need to shout a little louder. And so the prophets of Baal begin to shout a little louder, and they begin to cut themselves and do everything they possibly can to arouse the attention of their God. But there was no answer. And Elijah stepped up to the plate, and he came up to the altar. He told the boy to throw water all over the altar, just douse it, consume it with water. And he came before the people and he bowed his head and he prayed. And he said, Father, show these people here today that there is a God in Israel. The Bible says that fire came down from heaven and consumed the altar and consumed the sacrifice. Not only did it consume the sacrifice, but it also, they dug a ditch around the sacrifice, and the ditch was full of water. From the servant boy throwing buckets of water onto the sacrifice. And the Bible said not only did the fire lap up the sacrifice, but it consumed the altar. It scorched the ground and it lapped up all the water so that all of Israel could see that there is a God still in Israel. And if you're a child of God today, you don't have to plead. You don't have to do every religious thing that you can think of. All you have to do is come with the faith as small as a mustard seed and say, Father, liberate me. Father, set me free today. Come into my life and make me whole again. Amen? These words of Paul were written by the Apostle Paul, who called himself the chief of sinners. In Romans 7:24, He refers to himself as a wretched man. Paul had a right to feel condemnation in his life. After all, he persecuted the church. Paul didn't start out as a man of God. He started out as a man of religion, a man that was bound up by the law, that wanted to hold everybody by the letter of the law. And so he went out on a crusade to kill every Christian that he possibly could. He imprisoned them. He had them beaten. He held the jacket of people that flogged and killed the first martyr, Stephen. He held their jacket in approval as the people stoned Stephen. The Bible says he separated families and tore them apart. That's why Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. And one day, as he was going to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him himself, and he said, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" And there was a blinding light so strong that it knocked him off his horse. And Saul looked at the light and held his hands up, and he said, "Lord, what have I done?" And he said, "You have persecuted me. Why are you persecuting me?" It's interesting to note that Saul addressed him as Lord. He knew exactly who he was the moment he appeared. He knew that he was Lord. And instantaneously, he was changed and delivered. But that's why Paul calls himself the chief of sinners. Because, and a wretched man, in Romans 7:24, the reason why he calls himself a wretched man is because he had done this horrible atrocity to Christians all over. There was none more zealous. There was none more zealous than he. And so we see that the enemy could have took Saul, now Paul, and just ravaged him with condemnation and guilt. Ravaged him with condemnation and guilt over his past, over the things that he had done. But the Bible says that Paul changed. That he now possessed the healing power of Jesus, had the Holy Spirit living and abiding in his life. And not only did his life change, but his name changed from Saul to Paul. Now we sing a song that says, "A thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains. A thousand times I fail." How many of you guys in here could say, "Man, a thousand times I failed, still your mercy remains"? But you know what? The song goes on to say, "He's everlasting. He's everlasting. His love never fails. His love never fails." Amen? Amen. Turn to John chapter 8 with me. John chapter 8. I want to read you a beautiful story. John chapter 8, verse 2. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up on the screen for you. John chapter 8, starting with verse 2. It says, "At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts," talking about Jesus, "where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone this woman. Now what do you say?' They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, Lord,' she said. 'Then neither do I condemn you,' Jesus declared. 'Go now and sin no more.'" go now and sin no more. This encounter is an example of what happens with us. We've sinned. We have been brought before Jesus guilty. Our accuser, Satan, is holding the stone of condemnation. Death awaits us, but Jesus set us free. He says to us, I made your accusers drop their stones. You are no longer condemned. Leave your life of sin and respond to my grace. The people in her town may have heard, may have had a hard time forgetting, but the Lord forgot her sin no more. Now we look at that and we say, well, man, Jesus was light on her. He was easy on her. No, he gave her a stipulation. He said, go and sin no more. You see, whenever you become born again, whenever you have Christ living in you and you have asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life and to be the Lord of your life, not just come into your heart, but come into your life. There will always be an accuser of the brethren, and that is the devil. And he's out to steal, kill, and destroy and rob every single thing that God has established in your life. He is an accuser. He stands before the throne and he accuses you that if you are in Christ now and the blood of Jesus has sanctified your life and you have been forgiven and you now are a child of God, the Bible says the Lord remembers your sin no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But so many times, the people that know us best, they don't forget. And they hold that stuff over our heads. They hold it over our heads. And some of them, they don't mean to. They just know you before Christ. A lot of people knew Paul before Christ too. And you know what happened? Those people that commissioned him to destroy the church now commissioned his brethren to destroy and to kill him. Paul was lowered down in baskets many a times over the city walls. He escaped narrowly from being killed by the people that stood beside him. And you see, so many times in our life, we are just like this woman. We may not be caught in an adulterous affair, but it's sin nonetheless. And the devil will bring us before all the people and try to lay our sin openly. And Jesus, he just sits there and he writes with his finger in the dust on the ground. I wonder what he was writing. I've had listened to so many scholars try to figure out what he was writing. Some say they were writing down the ones that were holding the stones' sins on the ground. I tend to believe that. I don't know if it's true or not. I can't give you a Bible for that, but it could be true. But nonetheless, Jesus was not rattled. He was not shaken. He did not pick up. The only person that was qualified to pick up a stone that day was Jesus himself. He was the only one that by law could do it. But Jesus stood up and he looked at the accusers and he said, he that is without sin, cast the first stone. Now let me tell you what that scripture does not say. That doesn't mean that we do not judge. That's not what that scripture means. Because if you're a brother in Christ and you are bound to his, you're bound to his word and you have Jesus living inside of you, then we are to judge one another's fruits. We are not to set in judgment, but we are to judge the fruits of our lives. Amen? But that's not, Jesus, this is not what this story is about. But it's about redemption. Jesus said, as they dropped the stones and walked away, Jesus looked and he said, where's your accusers? Where are those people that are persecuting you? Where are the ones that caught you doing this thing? And by the way, the law says not only does the woman die by stoning, but also the man. Where was the man in this situation? You see, the Pharisees were not concerned about fulfilling the law. They were concerned about killing Jesus. And see, the enemy is not concerned about whether you're good or bad. What he's concerned is about killing the joy and the peace that abides in your life because of Christ. He is out to steal, to kill, and destroy everything what God has established in your life. Now, Satan can hold labels and accusations and unforgiveness and all those things. He can taunt those and put those over our heads. He's good at that. He's good at labeling us. He's good at trying to define who we are. But what we need to be concerned about as believers, church, is to focus in upon God's Word. Amen? Because we're no more spiritual than we are biblical. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And because of this, because He has set us free, we can now walk in freedom. We can now walk around with not our past on our shoulders, but we can now have it as a tool, as a testimony, to look and see what God has done in our life. Amen? Amen. This world is screaming for the truth. They're longing for someone, something that's genuine, something that is real, something that is tangible. They're looking for the truth, and they're trying to find it in every corner of the earth. But we hold the very truths of the Word of God in each and every one of us. Let your light shine wherever you go. Break free from condemnation and break those chains off of your hands. Break those chains off of your mouth. No longer wear them as a robe around your neck as penance. Amen? Because the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free in indeed. Now, that's when we need to cling again to this. We need to cling to the label that God has placed on us through Jesus. We declare our identity through who we are in Christ, not who we were in sin. Let me say that again. We declare our identity through who we are in Christ, not who we were in sin. See, that's the problem. So many of us today identify, even though that we're believers, we still identify with what we did in the past, and we can't get over it. I had someone tell me months and months back, I don't feel worthy to even raise my hands. I want to raise my hands when we worship God, but I don't feel worthy. And I said, that is a lie from the devil himself. You are worthy. If you're born again, you are worthy. You are worthy to raise your hands. You are free to dance. You are free to lift your hands on high. You are free to sing and to give yourself to the Lord. Amen? Yes. We can be set free. There's no begging. There's no crying. There's no all this tons of, God, give me, please give me. It's like a little child that wants a candy bar somewhere. Give me, you know. And the Lord is saying, listen, if you'll just ask, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Not only did He say that I'll forgive you of your sins, but I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I'll cast those things as far as the east is from the west. I will never, ever remember them. That when you come before the Lord, those sins will never come up again. Because you have been set free from them. No longer do you have to walk under that condemnation any longer. But you have a new future. You have a new identity. Just like Paul, he changed not only his life, but he changed his name. And because of that, he was never the same. Never the same. Because of what Jesus did for you, you have a clean slate. You have been set free this morning. If you are here today and you are under condemnation for your past and it is robbing you of your relationship with Christ, then today is your liberation day. Today is your liberation day. You can be set free. Amen? Amen. Paul said, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not whenever Jesus is in a better mood, not whenever God's sitting at the right angle on the throne. No, there is therefore now no condemnation. Today, right now, under the sound of my voice, can be freedom and liberation for you. No more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, if you're going to clap, go ahead. The lady that was caught in adultery. Let's just set this stage for a second. Back then, they dealt with that kind of stuff pretty violently. Don't know how she was caught, if she was in the act or if it was hearsay or what it was. But the Bible says Jesus had sat down and there was people gathered all around Jesus. It wasn't a private affair. But there were people all over the place. Jesus was teaching publicly. And the Pharisees brought this woman trembling and crying, probably to the point where her knees gave out. She was so faint. Scared to death. Imagine. Scared to death. She knew what the law said. She knew what the law required. She knew what her penalty was. They brought this woman before the Lord. And because of the law, she deserved death. Because of the law. But Jesus, he didn't get in a fray. He didn't panic. He didn't react. He didn't join in with the crowd. He didn't pick up a rock himself. But I can see him looking at this woman as he stood up. The scared, guilty woman. And then he looked at her accusers. And he said, any one of you who is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. Go ahead. You know what he did? He instantaneously qualified himself as to be the only accuser. The Bible says as he said that, he knelt back down and he took his finger and started writing in the dirt again. Didn't even look at him. And Jesus, as he was writing in the dirt, could hear the rocks falling to the ground, one by one, the oldest first to the youngest left. And as the accusers walked away, Jesus stood upright again and he looked at this woman that was had to have been trembling, scared to death. And he walked over to her and he said, woman, where's your accusers? She looked around, scared, I'm sure, and said, there's no one. And the beauty of it all is that the Lord said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. You see, the reason why sometimes that we have condemnation heaped upon our life is because we're not totally convinced that Jesus is the way. Because we have, like this woman up here, a foot in two different worlds, trying to figure it out. And the enemy comes in like a flood in our life. Because we're double-minded. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. All of his ways. You know what all means? All. Means everything. Unstable in all of his ways. And the person that is set free is the person that has made their minds up. That they're done with it. That life is over. That thing that's bound us up for so long is now finished. And the only way that we can be free from condemnation is to give ourselves over to Jesus. Amen? Amen. to give ourselves over to Him and allow that grace to cover our lives. Allow His mercy to make us new. Allow His peace to become ours. Allow His joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to become ours. Because He will give us peace, that which we did not earn. He'll give us grace that we could not buy. He will give us love and peace inside our soul if we'll call upon His name. This morning, Amanda, if you come on up. The reason why Romans 8:1 is so beautiful is because Romans 7, Paul began to talk about his shortcomings, began to talk about how he was chief of sinners, how that he struggled, that he had these things that he didn't want to do, but he found himself doing. There was a war within him. And I think sometimes we look in the writings of Paul and we see Paul declaring things over his life. Imagine yourself being responsible for the deaths of untold numbers of Christians. All of a sudden, one night, as you go tirelessly to persecute the church, you're knocked off your horse and confronted with the Savior. And I think it's that confrontation that completely changed Saul to Paul, that revolutionized his life and changed him forever. That's why Paul could write these words in Romans 8:1. This says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. He was liberated. He was changed. He was set free. Let's all stand up this morning. Let's all bow our heads as we pray. Father, this morning I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you for the power of being in Christ Jesus. That we no longer have to be condemned. We no longer have to worry about our accuser. But we are liberated and changed. This morning, if you are dealing with condemnation in your life, the past is brought up all the time. Maybe it's brought up to you by your family, by your friends. Maybe you're not born again today. Maybe you're not a Christian, and you don't know this love and peace and joy that can only be found in Christ. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you. Just like the lady that read palms for a living, she was set free. She was forever changed. The woman caught in adultery was set free and forever changed. The man who Jesus cast out legions of demons, he lived in a graveyard. He was chained up. He was out of his mind, completely out of control. No one could go near him until Jesus came to town. With one touch, with one word, that man was set free. His mind was restored. Peace came into his life again. He was liberated. He was never the same, ever. again. Today, if you need that freedom in your life, I want you to come. I want to pray for you. I want to declare healing and freedom over your life. Because I'm going to be honest with you, the lady that was caught in adultery, the people around her knew who she was. They had a hard time forgetting, but the one person that mattered remembered her sins no more. Today, you can be free. Today, you can have peace. Today, you can be born again. So this morning, I give this charge to you. Come today. If you want freedom in your life, if there's something you've been struggling with, you don't have to tell us what it is. You just need to tell us to pray. We're not here to pry, we're here to pray. Amen. We're going to pray the prayer of faith over you and declare you free. Today, if you're struggling with things in your life, I want you to come. Come today. Have some altar workers come. Wait, come. Father, this morning, I pray in the name of Jesus that your word would go forth in strength and power. I pray, Father, that you would declare freedom over the captives this morning. You would set freedom those who are bound up, those that can't seem to find peace in their life. Let peace come this morning, Lord. If there are those in this room that don't know you as Lord and Savior, never experienced the freedom of salvation, let it be theirs this morning. Let it be theirs this morning. With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you this question. If you were to leave this place right now, where would you go? Would you have a relationship with Jesus? Or do you just have a knowledge of religion? Religion can't save you. Your church affiliation can't save you. Your doctrine can't save you. It's only through the power and the blood of Jesus that we can be free. That's it. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths and believe with our heart that God raised Jesus up from the dead, then you shall be saved. Not might be, not could be, but shall be saved. You say, Pastor, I don't have that assurance, and I want to know today. I want to accept Christ into my life. With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Just keep it up so I can see. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling. Man, I'm struggling. I'm dealing with condemnation in my life. I'm dealing with past stuff. And I need your prayer. I need prayer. If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise your hand so I can see it. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, those that raise their hands, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would bring liberation, that you would set them free. God, that you would loose the chains that bind them. God, that you would replace that condemnation with your peace and with your forgiveness and with your mercy in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom for the captives this morning. I declare liberation over their lives, freedom in their minds, God. I pray that when they lay their heads down tonight, that they would lay down in peace in Jesus' name. I declare peace over their hearts and their spirits today in Jesus' name. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You have no foothold in their life any longer. I cast you down in Jesus' name through the authority of Christ Jesus. Let those chains be broken. Let freedom be theirs this morning in Jesus' name. Let healing abide in the name of Jesus. No longer going back to their past, but looking forward to their future in Christ Jesus. And when the devil comes up and starts reminding you of your past, you just remind him of his future. That his future has an end. But through Christ we are redeemed. I thank you, Father, for the freedom we have in you. I thank you for the joy that we have in you. I thank you, Father, that there is now, no condemnation. That I can lift my head up. That I can feel free to worship the Lord. That I can feel free to share what Jesus has done in my life. That I can be made new and whole again through Christ. Through Christ who gives me strength. Hallelujah to your great name, Father. May you forever and ever reign in our lives. Glory and honor to your name, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word that transforms us, that sets us free. And Lord, it's not my preaching that sets people free. It's not my counsel that sets people free. But it's by your word. By your word, we are declared free. And because of it, I choose today to walk in freedom. I choose today to walk in freedom. Hallelujah. Do you know that as a believer, you have authority over the enemy? You have authority over the enemy. You have authority over your accuser. That you can now stand justified. You can now stand clear of all condemnation. You can now stand clear and free, knowing that you are redeemed, knowing that you are a child of God. Knowing that you are your sins are wiped clean. Imagine someone being condemned to die. Standing before a judge, and sentence is about to be passed. Knowing that for the rest of your days, you'll be in a cell that is 4x4x9. Then walks in Jesus and he redeems us. He puts our sentence upon himself and he declares us free. Free in Jesus' name. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would take this word that was spoken and bring healing and liberation to each and every soul in this place. I thank you for the power of your resurrection, for the power of your freedom, that I can and will be and am set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. No longer do you have to beg. No longer do you have to plead, because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want to encourage you this morning that if you're dealing with those past sins, you're dealing with those past things, and you're born again, you have the authority to speak over your life and declare the Word of God over your life, because it's the only thing that's going to set you free. It's the only thing that is going to bring healing. It's the only thing that is going to cause you to stand in the midst of the storm. It's the written Word of God. Amen. Declare that over your lives. Declare it. You don't have to call me. You don't have to call me and say, Pastor, here we go again. But you can declare it. I'm not saying don't call me, but I'm saying you don't have to go through this thing by yourself, that you now are operating under authority that is not your own, but it's a heavenly authority, that you've been indwelled by the power of the Holy Spirit to be more than a conqueror through Christ who gives us strength. Amen? That we can now speak to that mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be so for you. Amen? So declare and decree your freedom from condemnation today, that you are no longer the same in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen?